Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It is 6 p.m. Eastern on the 16th day of February, 2015. You are tuned into Women of Wisdom, which is the program heard live every Monday and Tuesday at this time on the WC, a Woman with CP network here on Blog Talk Radio. Today on Women of Wisdom, best-selling author Wynne Kelly Charles welcomes Lisa Robin Young, the singing business coach. She helps personally based business owners get paid well to do what they love without selling their soul. When you're ready to merge a can-do strategy with a how-to education, visit www.lisarobinyoung.com. And when you're ready to be a guest on this program, please contact our host, Wynne Kelly Charles, at w.charleswisdom@gmail.com. Without any further ado, we welcome the host of the program, Wynne Kelly Charles, and her guest, Lisa Robin Young.
Thank you, Annette. And what attracted me to Lisa, I guess, and Lisa's going to start laughing at me when I say this, but what attracted me to Lisa is her way of presenting the business model. I mean, most business coaches that I work with go into this salesy pitchy mode, if that makes sense, and then they make you feel like you have to sell yourself to get your product sold, and it's like, I'm terrible at asking for money, personally, so I don't want to ask people for money. So that leads me to my first question for Lisa. And how did you come up with this philosophy?
Wow. Trial and error and a lot of pain and torture, I think, is probably the best answer. because I came from a very male-dominated, I grew up in the 80s with Wall Street and greed is good and that whole push mentality, and it didn't resonate for me. And as a musician, I just wanted to make my art, man. I didn't want to have to deal with the man and being pushy and slimy. And I fell into direct sales, which, it's called sales for a reason. And so the product has to sell or I don't make money, but there's got to be an approach that I can use that's authentic, that's genuine for me. And what I learned was when I showed up to a sales presentation or when I show up now online or in a teleclass or in an interview like this, I get my best results when I am transparent, authentic, and as truthful as I possibly can be and focused on helping the person who might buy from me make the best decision for themselves. And so when I'm working with clients who are focused on sales, that's the first thing I tell them is, this isn't about you. Yes, you've got sales goals you need to hit. Yes, there are things you want to do. But ultimately, sales is about helping your potential buyer make the decision that's best for them. Many times that's going to be working with you. But sometimes it's not going to be working with you, and you have to be okay with telling them, hey, I'm sorry, this isn't a good fit. And, a lot of people don't have the courage to do that. And I've learned that when you can stand for something and say, this is what I'm about, this is what I represent, this is what matters to me, then the right people show up and the right people are willing to say, yes, I want to work with you.
Yes. I had a little bit of a situation this morning, which will be public knowledge now. My business partner proceeded to quit on me and cause a hissy fit on the way out the door. And she proceeded to say, oh, I don't work for you for 24/7. You don't respect me. You don't respect my family. And I'm like, get out of there. Because she wasn't kicking up the ball and rolling with it. So that leads me to my next question. When people get a business coach like yourself and you ask them to pick up the ball and roll with it, or they get a business partner and The person asked this in this appointment to pick up the lawn mower with it, and that other person said, no, absolutely not. What do you say?
Well, you're asking two different questions, so let me address them separately. First, in regards to dealing with a partner, that is why it is so incredibly crucial that all of the steps and terms and agreements and roles are clearly defined and mutually agreed upon, because it's so easy for something that gets handled once to become something that gets taken for granted, and then when it doesn't get done, there are all these expectations and judgments and confusions and problems that manifest. And so I don't work with a lot of clients who have partners primarily for that reason, because it complicates things and it adds a whole other layer to the mix that can slow down business momentum. But to answer the other question about when I'm working with clients or when someone wants to hire a business coach, the first question I dig into is, are you even coachable? Because there are people who want to have the prestige of hiring a coach or saying, I have a coach, but they're not coachable and they don't want to do the work. They just want to have a scapegoat to say, well, I did everything you told me to do and it didn't work, when, you know, maybe they didn't do anything. I posted that one tweet on Twitter and it didn't sell anything, so social media doesn't work. That's not the same thing as being coachable and trying an approach and giving it a period of time. And you do. You sit down and you say, okay, for example, let's talk social media strategy. You want to try using Twitter? Well, you're going to have to do more than one tweet a week, and you're going to have to do it for more than 30 days. You know, you need a plan. So let's develop a plan. Let's implement the plan, and then let's see what comes out on the other end of it. One of the greatest lessons I ever got was from my son when he went to a wilderness camp. He spent 25 months in a camp for boys with emotional problems, and one of the highlights of the time that they're together is this thing that they do called powwow. And every day, three steps: plan, do, evaluate. They make a plan, they do that plan, and then at the end of the day, they sit down at powwow and they evaluate what went right, what went wrong, what could we do differently, how could we make this better, every single day. And so when I'm working with a client, let's make a plan. Now, you've got a plan. That doesn't mean anything until you actually do something. And if you don't do the plan we created, then we've got to do a whole bunch of rigmarole to figure out what it is that you actually did. So let's make a plan. Then let's execute on that plan. And then let's evaluate when we're done. And a lot of people skip the evaluation step, and then they don't understand why something didn't work. Or worse, they don't understand why it did work, so they can't replicate it.
Yeah. No. No. And I agree. So what do you say to your clients who say, I want to make this plan, and I will stick with it because I am coachable? And do you say, well, let's all give you A, B, and C, and then have you run with it and do check-ins with me? Or how does your coaching system work compared to others?
Well, the big thing that I want to make sure we have a clear distinction on here is the difference between coaching and mentoring or teaching. Coaching is where I show up and I hold the space for whatever your big dream is. So let's say you want to reach 1 million listeners this year. Okay, that's your goal, that's your dream, that's what you want to accomplish. My job as a coach is to hold space and ask the right questions to help you make the decisions that you're then going to act on. And that's coaching. Mentoring is, oh, I've done that 1 million. Let me show you how that's done, and I show you step by step by step, and I say you take step one, and then you take step two, and it's up to you to take those steps. And a teacher says, this is how you take step one. This is how you take step two. One of the neat things that I've been blessed with is pretty diverse education around business. So I have experience in a lot of these different areas, so I can mentor and I can teach. But my greatest gift is that I can hold that space and say, what is it that you really want? And when I'm working with clients, I look at what I call the five key areas of success, because it's really easy to get tied up into the money or the followers or the fortune of being in business, but I look at five areas. I look at faith, family, fitness, fortune, and freedom. So you want to reach a million listeners, that's fabulous, but how does that give you the sense of freedom that you want? How does that help you in your, you know, life of faith? How does that, you know, handle your fitness goals? Are you going to get a million listeners and kill yourself? Well, then that's not really going to work. So
no.
I like to take a holistic approach to anything that I'm doing with my clients, because if you've got success in one area and you're dropping the plates in the other four, you're really not feeling successful.
Well, I liked that. I liked that method, because if you're dropping the plates, and it's like, no. And what I've quickly discovered is that you need a contract with every single person I come in contact with, because I want to hold them accountable. They want to hold me accountable. So what do you suggest when to my listeners when they say, well, my person won't do a contract?
If you've got a situation where you've already started working with someone and they're refusing a contract, you really only have a couple of options. One, stop working with them. Or two, let the chips fall where they may. Neither one is really ideal, but there are situations where, you know, people don't work with a contract. I had a client who I absolutely loved working with, and I had given him a non-disclosure agreement and a contract, and he looked at me and he said, you know, Lisa, I find it uncomfortable to sign contracts with people because I like to think that I work with people I can trust. And I said, you know, I really appreciate that about you, and you are one of the exceptions to the rule. And I would feel more comfortable in our relationship if we could go ahead and just do this paperwork. And, you know, I don't expect I'm going to have to take you to court. I don't expect you're going to have to take me to court, but this is protection under the law. And especially if you're dealing with people outside of the country and their understandings and the way they communicate are different, having those agreements in place are a great way to keep circling back and saying, I want to make sure we still understand each other. I want to make sure we're still on the same page. It gives you the opportunity to say, hey, I still like working with you. I want to make sure you still like working with me. And if you've got a contract, that gives you a sense of peace and ease. But let's be honest. Contracts are only as good as the enforcement that's behind them. So there are some instances where a contract isn't going to do you any good anyways. It's really up to, you know, it's really up to you. Do you trust this person? Are you willing to risk everything on this person? And if the answer is yes, then you've already made up your mind. You've already decided you're going to roll with this person no matter what. And, you know, there are consequences for that, good, bad, or other. And, you know, I mean, I'm not an attorney, and I don't know all the ins and outs of contract law, but there are some protections that a contract will afford you that just trusting somebody will not. So.
Yeah. Liz is going to probably laugh at me when I say this, but how has being a musician helped with all this coaching business?
Thank you for asking that question.
I have never heard of a business coach whose original passion is musician. I have never heard of that in my life. And I like music myself. For those of you who don't know, I use singing as a hobby. But I just admitted a huge secret that wasn't supposed to come out of the bag until later this summer, but oh well. And so how has being a musician and being a vocal artist infused in all this?
Yeah. Well, for me, it was something I couldn't keep in the bag. I've been a musician twice as long as I've been a business coach. I've been coaching for about 10 years, and I've been singing since I was about 3 years old. And so to be that person, and I would show up to business events, and people would look at me like, "You dress like a rock star." I don't understand it. I'm like, "Well, I just came from a show or whatever." Or I would show up at the theater, and my friends would say, "You know, what's this business thing you're working on?" And I felt like I was living these two separate lives, and I fought with it for a very long time. I even had business coaches who said, "You got to pick one. You can't do both. You got to pick one." And it was like ripping my heart into two different pieces and mailing one off to Siberia and the other one off to the moon. And it was like, when do I get to be myself? And so a couple of years ago, after I wrote my book, it was like, okay, what am I going to do now? And I got this divine inspiration to record 300 songs. And so I started working on this project. And as I was working on the songs, it became clear to me that I could communicate better in song some of these messages of inspiration and hope and encouragement for entrepreneurs than I could by just seeing them from the stage or talking about them in a class or even writing about them in my book. You know, when a song says, "You don't have to hide anymore and you don't have to face this on your own," and it does it with this light and this musical uplifting, it comes across completely differently than reading the words, "You don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to face this on your own." Same message delivered so differently. And it was a great way for me to be able to combine my performing talents and my love for music and reach entrepreneurs in a new, deeper way. And like you said, you've never heard of anybody who's ever done this before. So I don't have any competition. I get to stand out in the marketplace. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. And how have you got success from infusing your two passions together?
Yes. And the reason why I can say that unequivocally is because I have learned how to define success on my own terms. There are so many people who are married to the six-figure or the seven-figure dream, not because they want six or seven figures, but because they want what they think that will provide. They want that feeling of freedom. They want that level of self-confidence. Instead of recognizing, if I just show up and do the thing that I'm real good at, I'm going to get all of that, and I'm going to get paid well doing that. And that might be six figures. It might be seven figures. It might be 10 figures. It might be five figures. But I'm doing what I love, and I've defined success my way, because my definition of success is going to look infinitely different than yours is, or your listeners are, or Lynette's are, because we're different people. We have different needs. You know, I've still got a kid at home. I've got a teenager who just started his first job, so my definition of success is going to look way different than, you know, a single empty nester who, you know, has lots more free time and the ability to travel and do other things that, you know, I just don't have the ability to do. But when we decide for ourselves what success looks like for us, and we step fully into that and we take ownership of it, that's when we not only see success, but we feel it in our bones. We know this is what success feels like, and we get to live it every day. I tell people, success is a destination, and you're already there. You just have to own it. It's not a journey. You're already there. You just have to embrace it.
Okay. Now, what would you say to my listeners who are stuck, who are literally at the rock and hard place, and they can't seem to get past that rock and follow their true passion like I have? And I became a motivational speaker last year. And I became a published author before that. And I also teach, too. And so I'm following my dreams as a motivational speaker and a teacher and a published author. But what would you say to my listeners who don't have the disabilities I do and don't have all the staff that I do. And what would you say to my listeners who are stuck?
The first thing I would say is everybody gets stuck. And so get comfortable with being, with the idea of being stuck. Because, and I'm saying this to your listeners as much as I'm saying it to myself, because we all go through this, as entrepreneurs especially, we go through this path where we get, I call it the in-betweens. I have a friend who says, you know, when God closes one door, he opens a window, but it's hell in the hallway. And that's where we are. We're stuck in the hallway going, okay, window, when are you going to open? But what I've learned, or what I'm continuing to learn, is that this is a time of preparation. It's fun.
Yes.
There's nothing fun about it. It can be very excruciating sometimes. And yet, this is exactly the time when we're supposed to be preparing ourselves, whether it's, like for me, for example, I had to make some changes to my diet and eat differently. And I needed some concentrated, focused time where I didn't have launches going on and people calling me for interviews so that I could take care of my health in that way. And that was something I had to do to kickstart out of the in-betweens. There are things that you need to be doing, and if you're not sure what they are and you're feeling frustrated and stuck, one of the best things that you can do, which is also one of the hardest things that you can do, is just be still. And this is a person, I'm saying this as a person who is constantly go, 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 go. I am wound on the spring and I go all day, every day. And when I get in the in-betweens, it is so painful. I cry. I'm miserable. My husband, I'm like, I don't know why you haven't divorced me yet. I'm so miserable.
But at the same time,
there's this preparation space where I can just slow down, and it takes practice. I couldn't do this the first time it happened. I couldn't even recognize this the first three times it happened. But now I go, oh, here we are again. I'm in that in-between space. I'm in that waiting period. What do I need to do to get myself ready? Do I need to learn a skill? Do I need to meet a person? Do I need to spend more time in prayer? Do I need to journal more? I find that as I slow down and do more connecting to my divine source, the stuckness starts to shift, and I see the things that need to happen. And sometimes it may seem trivial. Sometimes it's like, okay, I just need to clean up the living room, and then boom, the ball starts rolling. Or I need to empty some boxes and clear out some clutter, and boom, new business comes in the front door. And
yeah.
I can't explain it. It's an energetic thing where when you're stuck, something's got to move. And if you can't move emotionally, get some stuff out of your house. Go take a walk. Meet a new person. Find a way to get some energy moving somewhere, because that's the thing that starts the kickstart to happen.
See, I was stuck with this particular person, and by the end of yesterday, I got myself unstuck, thank you very much. And then I had a plan all lined up. Well, that plan didn't necessarily happen because higher powers stepped in and asked the right questions, and then I was able to move with this other business contact who I didn't even know was going to reach out to me today.
Surprise.
And so it's like, okay. So I got myself unstuck. But as Lisa said, be ready to get yourself stuck and figure out a way on your own terms how to get yourself unstuck in the universe. Will supply for you.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? The universe will supply for you. And, that's what I am thinking, that the universe will supply me. And it already has supplied me today, so I can't wait to see what's going to happen as of Friday. I can't wait. And so, yeah. But I'm going to turn it back over to Annette. And my, how a half an hour flies. And I appreciate the time. And as Lisa said before we went on, Lisa's going to do me a huge favor, which being the surprise me again, and put me in her newsletter. So those of you who are listening to this interview live and subscribe to Lisa's newsletter, watch out for that. And that should help me with Women of Wisdom.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, Lisa Robin Young. And remember that website is Lisa, that is L-I-S-A, Robin, R-O-B-B-I-N, Young. The opposite of old, LisaRobinYoung.com, where you can connect yourself with Lisa Robin Young, the singing business coach. And she will make sure she merges those can-do strategies with how-to educations and get you on your path to success. We also thank our host, Wynn Kelly Charles. Find her at WynnCharles.com. And when you are ready to be a guest on this program, drop her an email at w.charleswisdom@gmail.com. Please be sure to put the word guest in the subject line, and we'll get right back in touch with you. We thank you all so much for following this program on Facebook as well as blogtalkradio.com. And that network is WC, A Woman with CP. Don't forget, the show is live every Monday and Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Women of Wisdom.